or does someone you love suffer from Cody Doughton syndrome?
Do you find yourself shouting Cody Doughton at the worst times?
At weddings, Cody Doughton.
At funerals,
Cody Doughton. At your cousin Lenny Silverstein's bar mitzvah, Cody Doughton.
Dr. John Mikniak, the world's foremost authority on Cody Doughton syndrome.
Johnny Boy, a.k.a. Dr. Mick,
has a 14-step toe loading process to cure Cody Doughton syndrome.
Here at the Muskie Shop Mental Health Clinic, we know you don't have to suffer from CDS alone. All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. Jay Bird, what are you doing?
Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Tonight! Hello!
Tonight.
Hello, Minocqua! Are you ready to fish?
Are you ready?
Minocqua, Wisconsin, are you ready? It's muskie season. Yay!
It's almost muskie season everywhere now. This is awesome.
Well, but before we started recording, you told me that it's Suckfest 87 weather-wise.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to repeat this on the podcast, so I will. It was a high of 45 today in Minocqua.
Ooh, and windy.
It might snow a little bit tonight, actually.
Snow. No,
well, it's supposed to freeze. I mean, right around freezing again and last night. So, and then a gradual warm up.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's going to be a hot and heavy opener because our muskie season opens Saturday morning. So
Saturday. What time, Jay? Like 5 or something?
Midnight.
Is it like Friday night at midnight?
Yeah, it's going to be like 29 degrees. I'm thinking about just going out and probably getting ready. Yeah, probably doing a midnight troll thing for until the sun comes up.
That'd be amazing if you actually did it. That'd be
I don't have my fall fishing gear handy, right, clothing handy, so maybe I'll scratch that one off the list.
I always enjoy those second of season openers, Matlock passes in 29 degree, you know, it's just like, you're waiting,
snow in the boat
on opener, boys. I don't know, but hopefully you don't get snow.
It's supposed to be 60s this weekend here, so no sharp weather coming. That's past us. It's just cold right now. Well, it's gonna gradually warm up, so that might be a good thing.
We've talked a bunch about the season opener. You could beat the dead horse. I'm sure everybody else is just beating the season opener horse for you. Find the warmest water. That's it. If anything you can do, find the warmest water. They're going to be there. But, man, it's exciting. It's like you wait all winter for this, and here we go. I've actually heard some guys. I know some guys have been catching some fish up in the Upper Peninsula. From what I'm seeing, though, it's not like blowing up super hot in the south part of the state either, though.
No, I've heard the same thing. I've heard of better fishing around here, actually, just guys out crappie fishing.
Right.
Where they're using small jigs and they're launching into, the occasional hybrid or whatever, one of the local guides got a nice one. Looked like yesterday, posted on the gram, and just doing that, going out for crappies because everything's kind of extended with all the spawn. Depth Raider Don was out earlier in the week and just got on the smallmouth. Probably the single greatest day he had smallmouth fishing in years, he said. Everything was pretty much stacked in the 18 to 20 inch range, which is a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, your hands are tired after that kind of day. It was just nonstop. They were all pre-spawn staging. And which is weird because it's late May now.
Well, they're
still out there. He said water temp was still low 60s. This is just before it started cooling down here a little bit, but just hit him. It's perfect timing because he was on this particular clear, kind of deep lake, but not a huge lake.
Right.
And Joe Booker films out there a little bit. So if that's
Joe Schnooker, who's this Joe Booker you speak of?
Master Yoda.
Who will be at the Muskie Shop Bash July 17th?
So, you bet he will. Yeah, he's making arrangements as we speak, as are other people.
What lake was that, Suckatobin?
No, it's another secret lake.
Lake catch a fatty. You know?
Lake gravel lizard.
Lake gravel lizard. Dude, that's awesome. I'm stealing that. Yeah, we got the 42-inch up there of gravel lizard. My favorite, yeah. You know what my favorite to put people off in the North Woods is? Big Kitten.
Big Kitten? That's a lake, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And people are like, where are you guys fishing, Big Kitten? Like, if you don't miss a, if you just don't miss a bait, Big Kitten, it looks like, I've never even been there. It might be the best lake on earth. It might suck, but on the map, it looks like you could cast from either side of it. And you know what I'm saying? It looks really small.
I believe it's just a pond. It's just like a little subsidiary lake to over by Crab Lake or something. I forget.
Yeah, it's north of Succotoban.
Okay.
But.
I don't know where that came from, but
turn left at Succotoban. That you know, drive a quarter mile past Catch a Fatty, and there's Big Kitten.
Back up in the good lakes up there. I used to fish that lake. That's a fun one too.
That's a good one, you know. But everybody
Joe used to fish a lot in his younger days. He used to fish out there a lot. Kind of cut his teeth out on that lake and a handful of others in the Eagle River general area, I guess.
Oh, he caught a lot of big fish in that area in Boulder Junction, but I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
A lot of emails about what to do for season opener. And I'll tell you, if you got cold weather coming, we're the horse, Jay, can you hear it whinnying? No, you can't because it's already dead. We've already told you what to do. Joe Booker told you what to do. Everybody tell you what to do. But get on if it's cold front like this or it's sort of funky weather, small and stained. That's what I would be looking at. I would not get over on North Succotoban that's big and clear and 40 feet deep. You know, or some of these lakes where you go, what is it? I'm just talking, just running my mouth. Was like North and South Twin come to mind where they're like big, clear lakes? Or I don't know all the lakes up there that well. I just sort of go where Joe takes me and catch fish.
There's a million of them.
Right, but some of these I've been on where you go, this is big and it is clear and is deep. I would be absolutely fired up to get on the shallow tannic lakes. They're going to hold the heat. They'll rebound faster than some of these other bodies of water. So if the temperatures are dropping or the overnights are down, get on that stained water. That seems to be the guide trick, though, at the early season, too. Find that nasty stain. I don't think I would be out there. What's the one right there next shop, Big St. Germain or something? I don't think I'd be running over there with my hair on fire.
Yeah, there's some there's three major flowages in the general Minocqua area. The Turtle, Flambeau isn't that far away. Right. That's some neat water up there.
Yeah.
Real wilderness, like, you know. Like you said, you know, it's a river orientated system and got that dark tannic stuff you like. Right. That'd be a good choice. Willow flowage, rainbow flowage, there's a couple other ones too, but Turtle Flambeau is it's like going to Little Piece of Canada.
Welcome to the stage, a Little Piece of Canada.
I've just spotted a wild animal in my backyard. It is a mean-looking Rottweiler named Lenka.
The first dog in space.
Neighbor Steve's dog.
Neighbor Steve's dog. Welcome to the podcast.
You know, I was just talking with my neighbor Steve, and he is extremely fired up to fish with you.
Oh, is he coming out for the musky shop bash?
Here comes Lenka. Hi, girl. Hey, baby. And he's coming to the bash.
The bash. Guys, if you haven't noticed, July 17th in Minocqua, Wisconsin, the Muskie Shop Bash. It's going to be me and the Smitties.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the Smitties will be there.
Yep.
Just shun them. They're mean. Smitties will be there. Matt Ranger owner Rayleigh, he will be eating fine cheeses in the Ranger VIP.
Yep.
And Joe Booker. You know,
And neighbor Steve, say hi.
Hello, neighbor Steve.
Yep, that's neighbor Steve.
My question is this: does anybody out there know what Matt Rayleigh's favorite cheese is?
Brie?
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
If you've ever fished with him and you know what Matt Raley's favorite cheese is, let me know. I want to have it handy in the Ranger VIP.
He demands nothing but the best.
Matt Raley will not speak at the Muskie Shot Bash if there is not an aged friggin' brie. Okay.
Yeah. And Perrier. I mean, he's a Ranger owner.
If I owned a Ranger, I would have demands too. But I'll be in the stink star section here in the back as a low owner. You know, the boat name says it all. Low.
Yeah, we've
low
supplied
on the
some,
totem pole,
and we've already got our craft singles ordered for you.
they'll be hurled at my face by homeless people.
Open your mouth, here's your cheese, son.
It's just a dirty old
Welcome
homeless
to Wisconsin, Steve.
Old homeless man throwing freaking Kroger singles at my face. Can't even be like Kraft. It's got to be the store brand. Triggs. Does Triggs have their own brand of cheese?
I'm sure they do.
So anyway, if you know what Matt Raley's favorite cheese is, let me know. I want to make sure that the Ranger owners feel like Ranger owners.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the Smitty's the same thing, you know?
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
Bring
if we can find out what Jake likes, we better get on it, because like you don't want to turn your back on those guys. You want to make sure that you set them up correctly.
I will bet
from the get go.
Jake, can we go ahead and make a bet?
Yeah.
I'm betting old Schmitty shanks somebody at this thing. Just prison style. He just walks up on them, just jams it in their ribs. He'll take a small Smitty jerk, he'll sharpen it on the concrete and just shank them. You'll be standing there trying to get an autograph from Hall of Famer Smitty, and he'll just shank you so quick in the ribs, you won't know what hit your liver. But other than that,
Russ is the man. He is the man. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Uh-huh.
True legend of muskie fishing.
46 prison kills to his name.
He's got those little teardrop tattoos on his face.
Oh, he wears makeup when he's on the boat. If you catch him,
covered up.
He is in the Prison Murder Hall of Fame and the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Make it out to the Muskie Shop Bash, and maybe you'll learn something, or maybe he'll shank you. You'll never know.
His son's probably listening to the podcast right now, just shaking his head, going, "What did I get myself into?
What have I done?
What is wrong with that guy, Steve?"
Wow. Just sharpen the end of a Smitty jerk bait to make a weapon.
Hey, you got some fish on Smitty jerk baits the other day.
Dude, what a cool bait.
And because you haven't used those much, right? You weren't really super familiar with them, and you fish with that, what's his name?
Rich. Rich is a guy that fishes with the Smitties and fishes with me, and he's a big Smitty fan for obvious reasons. I've avoided them for my own safety. No. No. I love them. I've got, you know, some of the crank stuff and the tracer tails, which is the little bit bigger soft tail, and I like them. It's just such a... For me, the Smitty baits are a bait that I like to use in certain circumstances when it's not... Like, you got to gauge some follows, right? And there's
it's an erratic jerkbait.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's not, for me, I'm not I don't fish in a negative or neutral situation. I'm fishing on either on the fence. And buddy, I'll tell you what, when you put that thing out there, they get off that fence and in the net. And that's what I like about those baits. Now, they did send me some of the possum flap tails for Christmas.
right.
So if you're looking
for a
custom possum flap tail, but if you're that's the one thing they do is flap tails. The Smitty grapple and their standard flap tail have been out forever. And if you want some flap tail action that ain't trash, get one of those. That would be my recommendation. But anyway, enough about that. Make it out July 17th, Muskie Shop Bash. On the 18th, Jay Bird, myself, maybe somebody else that's pretty well known. I've about talked him into it, Jay. We'll be there for the podcast fun day. And we're going to go fish with you guys. Let us know. So if you make it to the bash and you sign up, we will take you out and fish with you. And you know, whatever. We'll have some funsies. Other than that, Jay, while we're at the bash, we're also going to be fishing some prototype lures that next day, by the way. So that'll be a fun thing. We're going to film some stuff for that. Also, Jay, we're housekeeping, housekeeping. We'll still be filming for Musky Shop TV. Comes out when, Jay?
June 1st. Tuesday, June
1st.
The premiere episode. And it's a good one. Actually, they're all going to be great.
I promise you this. You'll see it and go, well, anybody can get. I have busted my butt. That's, you know me, Jay. I'm just so loose with tough words like butt. Busted my butt to make this show. And fortunately, the musky gods were on our side, and we have got some really nice fish. The premiere episode, I promise you, is a schlub of a fish. So, going to show you some stuff. Hopefully, you guys like it. We're not running a contest this week, because next week, we're going to run the Super Mega Musky Shop TV contest. Okay? Yeah. Jay will come to your house. And he will do odd jobs, whatever you want. That's the winner.
Pretty much anything you want. Yep.
Within reason. there's so many jokes there. I'm not going there. Anyway, now we're gonna run a big contest next week. But super excited about it. I hope you guys like it. I tried real good, Pops. I tried real good. So
yeah, everyone's gonna like this, Steve. I'm telling you. I played it for. I don't think I told you. I played. The first couple episodes for Tom and Jim at work today, and I wanted them to see the final product, you know, because I got all the pieces put together with it, you know, the outros and, you know, B-roll and all this, that, and the other thing, and they really liked it, so it's, you know, because no one's really seen it, you know, it's just like. You know, you and I have both been looking at this stuff over and over and over and putting it together. And it's hard to be super objective sometimes. Right. You know, it's like, is this really good? But,
well,
yeah. I mean, there's big fish on every episode. I mean, that alone, having big muskies caught on every episode is a great thing to lead with.
I'm going
to
tell
such
the podcast.
A great job with doing tutorials on how to work these baits. I mean, it's just knocking it out of the park.
I'll say it
man.
On the podcast. I'll say this. We're putting out basically 6 months worth of episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it publicly. Me and talked about it. The smallest fish on film that we're going to use as a trophy, 40 inches. We have been killing ourselves to get this done. Like, I got today, what did I do, Jay? I don't like talking about myself much, so bear with me, folks.
Well, you woke up early. You had a
ran a guide trip.
Yep.
Ran that, came in, ate lunch, ran another half-day trip, came in, then filmed. Mm-hmm. So it is not easy, and it is tough water.
Yeah, you busted a huge fish in an hour and a half.
52. Look at you.
Hello.
But anyway, that's the thing. I hope all the podcast guys, because the pod, honestly, I'm goofy as heck, but you know, we love the podcast listeners. You guys keep me going throughout the week. We absolutely love doing the thing, and the podcast is why we did the show. Period. I never want to be on film. I hate everybody. I hate musky fishermen because they're all D-bags, and so. You know, I really didn't want to do anything. It's like the podcast has been so cool. So this show is just a little bit more family friendly version of the podcast. There's not going to be too great of jokes. However, right, I'll be done talking about what I'm doing here in a second.
Okay.
For you podcasters, we do have a little gem, a little chestnut at the end of each episode.
Oh, that is true. Yeah. Steve,
it is.
Go ahead. Yeah, I don't even want to ruin it.
I told Jay, I called him. He's sitting there with a guy that owns a musky shop who's cool about everything, and they're just going, that's what you want. And I said, I won't say who it is. I said, get him and get a friggin' skateboard. Right? And they're like, seriously? I said, Have I asked for anything else, Jay? No. This is all I want. I just want that guy on a skateboard outside. I'm not going to ruin what it is, but it is a little podcast nod at the end of it, because you guys will see these episodes and you go, Steve's not being real funny on there. Well, I can't.
No, he's being kind of straightforward.
I can't get on the show and be like, yeah, here I am driving down the lake drinking 14 beers. Hey, guys. Welcome. Jay just figure eighting and falling off the front of the boat. Oh, I got a hit. So, you know,
speaking of that that outro bit, 3 seconds of pure joy. Had a podcast fan in the store yesterday, and get this. I don't think I told you this. I'm on the phone with you, and I'm walking down the aisle, and I nodded, you know, like a hi, how are you doing kind of motion to a customer in the aisle. I got off
the
phone.
We call that the old howdy.
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 And I call it the Cody Dalton.
Cody friggin' Dalton.
He recognized my voice, and he
hold
could
on,
hear
Jay.
You on.
Sorry about that. We just had a technical error. What? So you're seen walking through the store.
Yes. I got off the phone, and he recognized my voice, and he recognized your voice, because when I walked by him, he could kind of hear you on the other end. He goes, it kind of sounded like a hillbilly on the other end. And he said that in a nice way, though.
Oh, yeah. Not insulting.
So anyway, I ended up talking to him for a long time, and really nice guy. And I introduced him to Elmer, because he wanted to know where the hellhounds were.
Right.
So I walked him over there, and I'm like, those are right here. I go, right next to Elmer here. He goes, oh, that's Elmer? He goes, can I bring my rod in?
For a shield rod blessing.
He wanted a shield rod blessing. So, yeah.
I love it.
Very, very cool, man. Very, very
well,
cool.
Guys, and I'm sorry we're gabbing about it. We really appreciate it. I got to say this. You listen to the podcast every week. The numbers are freaking unbelievable. I got to thank every one of you guys. I've said it before, but we are undeniably the number friggin' one musky fishing podcast by about 99%. Thank you so much. There are others that try and they go, Jay, I'm super, super excited for you to be on the podcast, Jay. Super.
I can't tell you how super it is.
Anyways. Oh, man. Number one, baby. Number one. Don't mess with Godzilla. I saw what you tagged your baits as. That's my bait company. Don't do it again. Anyway,
yep,
Jay.
As it's getting busier, boy, I tell you, with Memorial Day just around the corner here, we got, you know, tons and tons of people coming in, and just every day just getting people in, and they're so nice and gracious, and they love the podcast.
Love it. Anyway.
It's amazing. It's so neat because it's, you know, it's here and it is. You and I having a phone conversation several states from each other, you know, and
yes, sir.
I don't know.
Anyway, we got so many calls. Oh, I just dropped my notepad because I'm retarded.
Things happen.
It happens. Sorry. I was fired up there about somebody tagging their stuff for my bait company. Don't make me drive up there, son. Anyway, Topwater. Everybody loves it. How could you not? Do you love Topwater, Jay?
Doesn't get much more fun than that.
Doesn't get much more fun.
Yeah, surface bait hit. It's best.
So, we've got a lot of questions from folks because there is a legitimate topwater bite early season. When fish are shallow, there's very few options for fishing shallower than 3 feet that don't involve speed. So, twitch baits and all this stuff. A lot of guys are asking, early season topwater and just topwater tactics. What are you doing to trigger strike? Now, I'm not talking about putting a top rigger on and burning this thing, right? That's not what it's about. We're not there yet. So, just basic topwater skills. The biggest thing that I see, Jay, regularly is throwing a prop bait. So, everybody knows tail prop baits. Top Raider, Gooch's Tallywhacker, Little Bastards, Dr. Evil's, Cannonballs, right? All your prop baits. Everyone makes a common mistake. Not everybody. A lot of people make a common mistake by keeping that rod tip down. Every other kind of bait, you're going to hear me rod tip down, rod tip down. Get your rod tip in the air. that line, when you make that cast, that line of surface tension, which is going to drive that nose down, get your rod parallel to your chest and up at a higher position, right? Have your body positioning a little bit different. Watch a Joe Buker video. Topwater Terrors would be a good one there. Watch how he's running that bait to keep it up high in the water column, right?
Mm.
If you have your rod tip down, it creates more surface tension, which makes it harder for the bait to do what it get the plop going, if you will, at lower speeds. So we're throwing early season, we're throwing a little bastard. Have that rod tip high. You can run it slower, right? The same thing comes, you know, if you're throwing a top rate or any of these baits, a high rod angle will create less surface tension and allow that bait to run higher in the water column and will make the tail spin at slower speeds. That's a ninja move right there. So if we're fishing cooler water temps, we're fishing sluggish fish, high rod angle, keep that braided line off the water and reel in a slower fashion, you're going to trigger some strikes that way. As far as that, the question becomes tail props. If we just look at prop baits and some basic stuff, boat side. Okay. There are some new school anglers that take their surface baits and keep them on top of the water. Right. I, for one, will side with Joe Buker. Right. If you have a prop bait, put it underwater and run it like a bucktail. I've seen people running surface baits in circles, ovals, figure eights, boat side. I'm old school. Joe Buker's caught probably more big topwater fish than just about anybody I know. He's putting that bait subsurface and making that tail spin around like a bucktail. Jay, do you have any thoughts on that, or what do you think?
He's doing that every time on the figure eight, is what you're saying.
Mechanically.
Yeah, and let me clarify something real quick. When you're talking about prop baits, mm-hmm. did you call them tail baits or prop baits?
Well, either or. They'll both work.
Either or. They're basically the same thing. Steve's talking about top raiders, the Lake X lures, tallywhackers, something with the rotating – pretty loud, aggressive,
right,
plopping.
Top kicks.
Yeah, it's not something you really have to do to engage the like a walk the dog bait requires a lot more. You're providing the action, you know, by jerks.
Right,
and
you're just straight retreat.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to work on its own, kind of like most crankbaits.
Right, top
water. So those are on the loud side. Those are on the noise. I classify those as noise baits. Surface baits. Yeah.
And the thing is this, another thing would be remiss if we're just riffing on topwaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody sort of knows the walk-up of blades. You know, early in the season, you start with your 500 series, and you go to 7s, and your 8s, and your 9s, and 9s, and 10s, and combos, and then 10s.
Bigger as the season progresses, yeah.
The same thing with your topwaters.
Mm-hmm.
Right, go from your little bastards to fat bastards to top kicks and mix that up, because that can play a huge role in connecting with fish. That's another consideration. Don't come out of the gate and go, I've got one topwater and I have a fat bastard and I'm throwing it from season opener to close. There is some seasonality to be had with downsized topwater, so you're going to get a less of a sound in the water, but it's a smaller profile. And so that's
exactly what you were talking about last week when you fished with Pete Mena, and mm-hmm. you guys took the scissors out on a bucktail. You needed to reduce
literally
that size.
I mean, because, that was ridiculous, and that was the difference between getting a fish or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched it with my own two eyes and went, yeah, that matters. You know, I mean sometimes it matters, and that matters. So having a variety there, you know, do you need 73 prop baits or tail baits? Not really. But, you know, a Buker or a top raider, excuse me, being sort of the standard size, I would have a bigger bait and one smaller bait, right? And this is like something a bunch of people ask, what color of topwater? Right? As much mm-hmm. as I love crazy colors, not... is there's something to be said for black, right? there's somebody bodies of water you're going to run into a topwater bite on certain baits, but I'll tell you, black and white on topwater, if it is bright, right?
Yeah, if you're on the fence, you know, just get something dark.
Yeah, unless you sort of have a clue, like my body of water, the fish like X, Y, and Z.
No, and personally, I don't think, you know, color makes, goes into a, you know, really important factor in fish biting or not. I mean, I like the high visibility factor with something lighter colored or bright.
I'll tell you what, though, today it is pretty high, bright sun. Black blades, black skirt. When all else fails, black will catch muskies.
It's pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much it.
As much as I love a good paint job, man, do I ever go, ooh, right? But if you're on the fence, go with black. If you're like, hey, my body of water is a hot orange, or it's a Canadian crush, or this, that, or the other. But, man, black, and like I'm looking at the little bastards from Lake X. They got a black one, and they got a bone one, and they've got Casper. Those are the three I'm looking at. The rest of them are...
Yeah, I hear you. You know what? I've got a black, mostly black. I think it's an old Blackbird. It's really beat up. Mm-hmm. I mean, really beat up. Top Raider, Booker Top Raider.
Right.
And I took some paint, and I made a kind of like on Hellhounds, you know how they have that white tip on the front? So
right.
When the, you know, for the fisherman's perspective, so you're looking at that white, yeah. You could see it. It's like a small light under the water. You can tell what that thing's doing. But low light conditions with a black bait, they're not easy to see. Put a little white on the front.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like a little beacon for you.
Yeah,
I think it's
back, little white, little reflecty tape, anything to see it coming in. But yeah. When we're talking topwater, they can't see the belly color is all that matters, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unless they're jumping out of the water and coming down at the bait, which would be awesome, they're not looking at it. So whatever the belly color is, there is a bait on Booker's boat. And when you fish with Joe Booker, there's one rule. Don't touch Lenny. That's it.
Oh, his little special bait.
That's it. That's only one. I've been on there digging through hatches. You know, what's this? What's that? I've thrown baits that he has caught frickin' 55s on. He doesn't care. That Top Raider, you don't touch it. That's the only one. Right?
That's cool, though.
And that thing has been spray painted black about 4 billion times.
I think he brought that in. He brought his tackle box into the store once. Mm-hmm. Well, not his only tackle box.
Right,
he brought this, like, little travel box in. It was like... It was kind of cool when he opened that up because he's like, we were doing a little video years ago with him and, or I was, and he had all these, I mean, you know, all these used, you know, battle scarred baits. It was just cool. It's like, I mean, these are Joe Booker's primary weapons here, you mm-hmm. know?
Oh yeah. And there's some in there that just you've seen for years, but that one is that's the Topwater Terrors, like just monster fish bait of his, you know, filmed tons and tons and tons of episodes on that one bait. But if color mattered, half the time that bait goes from black to no paint left on it, you know, I mean, it just wears and wears and wears. I think he actually teased the hook on it just to keep it in shape. But, you know,
lesson for customers that are, you know, really worried about baits that they really like that just run perfect for them and they've had good luck with and they're superstitious with or whatever. You know, it's like if they start losing the paint job, don't worry about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
They'll still work. You could always repaint it, but yeah, it's not the paint as much as, you know, the overall pattern probably has something to do with it. If it starts to get real bad, you can always touch it up.
My rule of thumb is this. I mean, there's a couple baits I have that started life as something else, but if the action is just perfect, spray painting black and move on. You know, a can of Krylon will get you real far. With that being said, you know, if we're talking the different classes of prop baits, I'll say this, as far as a bait, as far as deciding what bait to get in the prop bait world, right? looking at the sound becomes a matter. Do your fish like loud, or do they like subtle, or do they like bloop, 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 or like pop, 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 right? If you look at Minnesota, Minnesota's been taken by storm by those the lake of cannonballs and fat bastards.
Yeah.
Such a loud bait. But on the other side of that, some of these bodies of water, they don't like super loud, which is I'm looking at like Gooch's tallywhackers, right? Some of these baits, like a, what I love about a Gooch's tallywhacker, which is old school as crap, that tail you can bend and sort of tune and get it to do what you want. You can still bend the tails on like a Lake X Little Bastard or a Cannonball. You can bend those out of the Dr. Evil. But the Gooch's tallywhacker is a, like sort of a modder's dream there where you can sort of tweak that bait out. You got to
find... the tallywhacker and the mud puppies, those are your original old school tail baits. And those things are definitely in the subtle category of overall noise. And, you know,
I'll say this, the only 50 inch bill crane ever caught was on Eagle Lake. We took the pictures on a Gooch's tallywhacker. And he never.
I just thought of something. You know what? If anybody wants to look at comparison of what these baits sound like in the water,
the topwater shootout.
Yeah, that topwater. What did I call it? Topwater
shootout.
The topwater shootout with John Mikniak. I took about me and John went out to a lake and took about 60 different topwaters from the shop, and I put a sound meter on and we threw them. And I tried to get as close as possible to the camera so you could hear what they sound like. Ran them in slow motion and stuff like that. And it's just like, hey, that'll give you a good idea what these things do if you're in the market to buy something different.
Sounds. And I mean, that's the thing. It's one of those deals. When it comes to these baits, everybody's going, this, that, or the other. What matters? Right? It's a sound thing. So a top rater in general will not be a real tunable bait, right? A Lake X will not be a really tunable bait. If you're looking for a sound to get them to eat, Gooch's tallywhacker. Another one that gets me is that Musky Shop Hoghead, right? That's a super tunable bait, or the Magic Back. And people go, I've not heard of them. They're little customs that the Musky Shop has. There's a really tunable bait. So if you're trying to find the right sound to make them eat, grab one of those, right? That's a bait that is a cedar bait, but it's got a little bit of a different sound. If you're looking for the magical sound, I'm looking here. I mean, another classic prop bait is the Pacemaker, right? The 5.5 or the 7, but that's not a really tunable bait. They've got a different sound because the cool thing on a Pacemaker is the click. So there's actually a hook that is intentionally cut off, and the tail actually hits that smack, 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 smack.
Yeah, if you own one, it's not defective. That's the way they're supposed to be.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'll hand that to clients. Pacemakers sometimes be like, hey, it's got a cut hook. I go, that's on purpose. Moving on. One thing I'll say is this, as far as dialing in on that. One thing that Joe got right before anybody else is the heat shrink on the back hook.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a tallywhacker, if you got a little bastard, you got a fat bastard, you got whatever, heat shrink that hook. You're going to have a way better hooking percentage. The cool thing about these topwaters, they're looking at the bait and they're not looking at the hook. They'll usually have that down their mouth before they even close it. Same thing with a top kick. Chaos does it. They actually heat shrink those like with their little sisters and twisted sisters and all this stuff.
They got a whole family of good ones, too. That's true.
Right. If you buy a topwater prop bait and the rear hook is not heat shrink, do yourself a favor and just heat shrink it on there. It's going to be a higher hooking percentage. So, another thing, people want to know, topwater, what do you do this? One thing I can tell you about the best topwater bait I've ever seen, again, which is Booker's Lenny, right? It runs low in the water.
You mean it's pushing water?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It runs low, and it sounds... It doesn't have a lot of high end to it. It's got a lot of low end. Again, Jay's great video, this topwater shootout, you can hear the different sounds. They can't stand that bait on Lake of the Woods. He actually has... Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure Joe listens to every moment of the podcast with bated breath. I could text him and find out. I believe he's running 2/6 aughts on that bait to weigh it down even more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's the difference. And if you look at that bait coming through water, it is like a slow bulging 10 almost, right? Because it is a fine line between a bulged bucktail and a topwater bite. Sometimes they want the bulged bucktail, some they want the topwater. But the way he's running that thing, it's sort of like right in between. It's pushing water out of the front. It's got a little kick to it. But again, you can play with that and dial in. The best way to do that, if you're getting follows on, let's say we're getting follows on a tail prop, a top rater, right? You might throw a smaller bait out there and get him connect, or you might throw a bucktail. But if you're really dialing in over the course of the season, it can be a matter of adding a bigger hook on the front to get it run a little bit nose down, or bigger hooks across the board to get a different sound or a different presentation out of that. Other than that, we're pounding on all of them just because we have so many questions. My personal favorite is the creeper, right? I love creepers. My favorite, hands down, if you're going to buy a creeper, just buy the bit and tackle creeper, okay? That's the best one. There's one.
And if you want to see the coolest bait, crazy hybrid creeper you've ever seen in your life, Musky Safari makes a Spitzer and a Franken Spitz.
Yep, they're crazy.
Check that out on that video and tell me it's not the coolest, crazy. It's half tailbait and half creeper.
Right.
And you can run them kind of fast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. You should see that thing in slow motion.
Oh, they're
awesome.
Nuts. Well, they make like
that is crazy.
They make our Stumblebee and some other stuff. I mean, they've got some nutty baits. But especially this early season bite, don't be afraid of a creeper. And do you know why they're named creepers, Jay?
Because they creep?
Yeah. Don't reel them fast.
There you go.
Creep them. Plop. Plop.
Well, guys ask all the time a common question. Year round is like, what do you have for weedless baits? You know,
creeper.
And it's like, well, yeah, topwaters.
Yeah.
You know, it's because guys are asking, I'm like, well, you know, it's, everything's got hooks on it. So there's nothing really weedless, but there are some bucktails that run single hooks that are real weedless.
I should say this.
Like the Violent Strike stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, topwaters.
I mean, if
run
you're
right
if,
over
if
it,
you know where they're at, get in there. The one thing I should say is this, if you've not thrown creepers are like an old school bait, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have faith in the creeper and you don't want to buy like a crazy one, that Savage Gear bat, I know it's stupid. Muskies don't eat bats. I don't care what you say. I've never seen a muskie come out of the water and go, oh, delicious bat. They don't know it's a bat. They don't care. They just see a black creeper. Those things are like $8. You know, like I've spent more on a leader than you could buy the Savage Gear 3D bat for. But that is
you wanna hear my favorite? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that is a great introduction to the creeper game. And the one thing, like I said, topwater is not always a fast game. That's the one thing I'll tell you. You don't always have to burn it up to get a fish to eat on topwater. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was going to tell my favorite Joe Bucher story of all time.
Light on me.
The first time I ever met the guy, it's probably like 1992. He did this seminar, and a long time ago, and he did this night fishing seminar for muskies. And it's like I was kind of just getting into muskie fishing then, and he had this story where you're talking about bats. That's what reminded me of it. And he's like, he's talking about bucktails at night. And he's like, so here I am in northern Wisconsin, you know, the bugs are out and, you know, it's nice summer evening, you know, and he's throwing this bucktail. And he's like, when you're in tune with this thing, you could tell immediately if you got a little bit of weed on the bait, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's bringing in this bait. He's like, you know, crap, got some weed on it, you know, reels it in and it's pitch black out. And he grabs it at the bottom and he grabs it to pull the weed off. It was a bat. He'd thrown the bait out and hooked the bat in midair. And
bat.
He freaked out when he grabbed it, you know, with his hand. He's just like, you know, it's just like, this is my
nasty
old Joe Bucher night fishing. Cool story.
The other thing is this, and we've gotten a bunch of questions about the walk the dog stuff too. So the last category of topwater world bludgeon here. I don't care what it is on a walk the dog bait, as long as you can get it to walk in its own wake.
Yeah.
That is how you catch fish. It's not about advancing that thing forward. Find one that works with your fishing style to get it to bounce in place.
Yep, because the walk the dog topwaters are generally, they're a glide bait. and it's all about the paws, you know, and it's like, so you get that thing cooking. I mean, they're all going to go side to side. There's just different profiles, different weights, you know, from glide raiders to giant jackpots. And there's a lot of them, water moccasins and
weagles
the steep ball trick. Weagles. Yep. You know, get that thing to walk in place.
If you can get that thing to bounce in its own wake, you're going to catch fish. And it's how can you get him to turn side to side without really coming forward much? So it's like side to side, side to side, side to side, bounce, bounce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the trick. It's exactly like Jay just said. With a side to side, you know, walk the dog boat, it's just like a glide bait. You got to get it to pause, but it's got to have some motion to it. That would be it, man. We're trying to cover territory here. Jay, we need to just keep moving here. We got a ton of questions. Guys, I'm just going to fire away. Kyle, is it proper etiquette to tip a guide? I booked my first guided trip and just want to know what the standard is. If so, what is an acceptable tip? Wow, cool question.
Most guides would answer that question, and they would say generally, you know, $500 to $1,500, I think.
Per hour.
But most normal people would say, fill in blank, Steve. I don't know.
Here's the deal. It's not a general question. Let's say Kyle goes out, and Kyle's cool enough, he's written a question to the app. So he's probably going to have some questions during the day. If you go out on the boat and this guy's just blowing you off, right? And you're like, dude, you go, hey, man, what's the best way to do this? If he's not imparting some knowledge on you through the course of the day.
Yeah, because a lot of people that hire guides want to try to learn something. Right. They want to apply something to that water that they want to fish.
Right. If he's not giving you anything, just pay him what you owe him, right? If a tip for a guide is we've caught a big fish, or you have just absolutely like changed my fishing life. Some of the biggest tips I've ever got are not related to catching a fish, right?
They're more related for you bending over backwards to hook them up.
Well, not even, no. Has nothing to do with a muskie in the net. I'm talking,
up with knowledge.
Guys will say, man, hey, I've never caught a figure eight fish. You'd be shocked how many times that happens of a guy that has fished for muskies for X amount of years. A good amount of time, I've never caught a figure eight fish. I will immediately stop and we will just go full tilt. Here's what to do. Here's what not to do. Here's this. Here's that. Here's that. As a guide, what I want someone to do. A, I want us to have some kind of action during the course of the day. Now, Kyle, I'll tell you this. If this dude takes you out there, and you're going with it. Let's say he takes you out there and you see five muskies come in on follows and you don't get them. That dude did his job. He guided you to the muskies. It is your job to catch them, right? So, let's say that you go out there and you might not even catch something, but you learn great figure eight techniques. He teaches you how to work gliders. He teaches you how to do this, how to do that. He's gone above and beyond. Take care of him. If you can afford $5, give me $5 extra. If you can afford 200, whatever. You know, I've landed personal best fish for dudes that have musky fish for 30 years and they give you a ton of money. Whatever's appropriate for you. There should be no expectation, however, that you need to do that, right? Don't if
sure.
If the guy's standing there with his hand out,
hey man.
Well, a tip is extra. You don't have to do crap, you know. If you owe him X amount of dollars, give him X amount of dollars. If you feel like the guy really like tried his best for you, take care of him if you feel necessary. That's it. There should be no expectation either way. You know, I don't stand around at the end of the day and go, hey man, who am I settling up with? And go with my hand out. But like I said, don't feel that you have to tip him unless that dude helps you. You don't even have to tip a guide if you catch a fish.
Did Kyle use Musky Shop guide service? Cause if he did, he probably wouldn't have any questions at all about anything.
That's true. Hey, if you are thinking about a guide trip, muskyshopguidesservice.com. Actually, the Muskie
Shop. It's amazing. Amazing website and service.
I'll promise you this. If you want to go with the best guides there are, go to the MuskieShopGuideService.com and you'll get guides that will do exactly what we're talking about. And you will. That's the thing, man. Here I come on here and do a freaking podcast. It's like an hour, hour and a half every week. And people have asked, like, how do you do a podcast that long? Right? Dude, I do an 8-hour podcast on the boat every day. Like, when you're on the boat with me, I am talking seasonality. I am talking tactics. I'm talking figure eights. Half the time, I'm talking about crap that doesn't even apply to what we're doing. Right? I'll sit there and talk about stuff that has to do with winter. Hey, in the winter, have you done this? Today, I'll tell you, the first trip I ran this morning, the guy was telling me he fishes this certain body of water. I said, do you fish Bondi baits? He says, no. I said, when we change spots, I'm going to stop out here and we're going to do Bondis. And I spent 10 minutes on Bondi baits. And the guys went, I had no clue that's what you really did with them or that's what we were exactly doing. Right?
Yeah, cool. Cool.
At the end of the day, the guy was like, thank you so much. I mean, we got a fish, but regardless, we're standing there at the end of the day. And he's going, dude, he said, I can't believe what you just showed me on that. He wasn't even talking about the fish. If you got a guy that cares about you, take care of him. If you get a guy that's just there for a day of work, whatever. You know, everybody has their moments in the sun. Got a different Kyle. Just wondering if you guys prefer to throw topwater like a topwater instead of a bucktail. Are there specific situations based on your daily patterning? We just talked topwater, but I'll say this. If they're moving hot and they're moving on bulging bucktails, go ahead and have that topwater. If you got somebody else that's on the boat, throw them with you. Try to throw in tandem and see which they're hitting. That's the best thing there without beating more top water. Matt says, hey guys, love the podcast. Meow.
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 I'm starting to get into mold making for oversized soft plastic and custom resin pours. Said, I want to tweak them out. Could you guys do a small segment on your opinions on the process? You know, he said, I know you guys fish more over the counter lures, but I think it'd be cool for people, you know, that want to catch some stuff on homemade stuff. He said he caught his first tiger on a homemade bait. You know, what are you guys' opinions on homemade baits and how do you get into them? Okay.
Molded homemade
baits?
Well,
he's trying to make a soft bait, but as far as making your own baits, there is nothing more rewarding than I have made a bait and I've gone to the lake and I've caught a fish on it.
Right. I mean, I've made my own few bucktails and caught fish on
it. And that's where
it's a great feeling. Yeah,
the way
for sure.
You start is bucktails.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is buy a bunch of components, right? So at the Muskie Shop, we've got skirts, we've got beads, we've got clevises. Jay, walk me through all the parts of a bucktail and explain what they do.
On the top, well, the first thing that you need is wire.
Yep.
051 gauge wire is very customary for most bucktails. You can go heavy. Not quite bicycle spoke heavy, but like 062 is a step up as seen on like spanky baits.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you got a bead or two. You got a clevis, which is that little loop that goes through the shaft and it holds the blade on. Get the blade of your choice, maybe two blades of your choice, more beads under that, probably a body, which is a weighted silver or gold, usually really strangely shaped little thing that provides weight and builds bulk between the beads. Then another bead or two, either another clevis, you got a skirt on there. Underneath the skirt, you might have an egg sinker, which is real common because they've got a hole right down the middle. You just put that through the shaft as well, finish it up with a hook, pretty much it.
Muskie Shop's got a video on how to make a bucktail as well on the channel. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the one thing I can tell you guys. You want to, it cost a couple bucks up front, but stop buying bucktails and start making your own because you can make whatever you need.
Yeah, for less money than store-bought ones, mm-hmm. You know, and you can custom make them. It's just like, right. I really like this certain brand, you know, the 4465 model,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it may be.
I like this
but
blade.
It's not
I
heavy
like, yeah.
enough, you know, right. I like it heavier so I could cast it into the wind and right. it'll run, you know, another foot deeper than the stock one.
You
easy
know,
to do.
You can, trust me, you can make freaking trolling baits in a heartbeat. Okay, I'm going to put 3/4 ounce on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a million times where it's like in the spring, I'm throwing some stuff with 7 blades And then, you know, a month later, I'm taking those baits I just made, bringing them back in, cutting them up and rebuilding them. You know, and you just keep getting more and more purpose out of them, right? It's just a piece of wire. You can reuse everything. Just cut the wire and start again. You go, okay, I need some trolling baits. They're not on this small stuff anymore. So I'm going to, you know, do this or do that and just sort of work through the different options you can have with blades and skirts. You know, I mean, I've been known to just tear them apart from the ground up and just rebuild them. It might go from a single blade bucktail to a double blade bucktail to a trolling bait. And so having all those components laying around, your imagination can run wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Outside of that, as far as building baits straight up, I've done it. I've got some different stuff we've done, but you know, as far as those tips, I mean, if we get into like custom building anything past a bucktail, it's we're way down the rabbit hole. The shop sells a bunch of screw on lips and different, actually glue on Lexan lips and all this stuff. You know, that's a whole other animal of woodworking, you know, and pouring soft baits. I've played with that. You know, it's a whole other subject matter thereof. But, you know, the thing I can tell you is this. If you got a cool design, man, and it catches fish, people are going to buy it.
They will.
I mean, you look at all the baits, and there's not a bait at the shop or anywhere where it's not like they catch fish. You know? Imagine when the first Bulldog came out, Jay.
Yeah, so many of these soft plastic baits and some, you know, sometimes even crankbaits and jerkbaits are just – you know, guys that had an experiment, they had a thought in their head. They're like, I want to see do something like this with this kind of shape, you know. And somehow they made it work, whether it's wood or plastic. And, you know, it turned into a small company. It turned into a small after work kind of thing. I'm done with work. I'm going to go work on my bait design.
Right.
Next thing you know, they give it to a couple friends. Next thing you know, the friends are going, you know, you should make a lot of these and sell them. And for some people, it's turned into a successful business.
That's the way it works. So I would love to see what you're working on there. Shoot me an email. Casey says, I'm planning to fish this Saturday with the season up, but the temp's dropping to 59 degrees. Should I start with a glider, a jerkbait, or something else? This is a bowl-shaped lake with only weeds, no rock. Get in the warmest part of that body of water. If it's bowl-shaped, there might not be a bay, but guess what? The tightest to the bank is the warmest. Get in there. I would probably start with a giant killer and a small glider. I love that 4-inch Phantom. And Muskie Shop's got those things in, and that is a killer early season little bait, post-spawn bait. That's where I would be looking at them. Last one for this week, because I'm burning up here. We got so much going on. Looking to get in. I can't even talk. Looking to get into the night fishing. I live in northern Wisconsin.
Ooh.
What water temp shall I look for best results? Thanks, guys. The podcast is awesome. Meow, meow. Night fishing is a different kind of animal. The thing I can tell you is this. I'm not looking for conditions. I'm looking at traffic. Right?
Boat traffic. Okay.
Right. So let's say, you know, if you find a body of water that's just like the Minocqua bats are out there doing donuts all day long and there's muskies in it, that might be a night fishing kind of body of water, right?
I just took a sip of water and almost choked.
And just imagine the Minocqua bats out there, seven children on water skis. And now, the chilling finale for the Minocqua Bats.
And all of a sudden, here comes Joe Booker from the other side of the lake, wide open. At him in his Recon.
Just jump 73 Ford Pintos. That is what you're going to see at the Muskie Shop Bash. I guarantee it, folks. Joe Booker will jump. He's going to go to Lake Carroll. Show up early, 9 or 10 in the morning. Get your lawn chairs ready. Joe Booker prepares to jump old cars in his Recon.
What were you saying? I can't even remember.
I was just thinking about force feeding Joe Booker liquor until he would try to jump a car with his boat. We have slipped you PCP into your food, Joe. Now go jump this pinto in your boat. I would say this. Night fishing is, I'm not looking for a temp thing as
night
much.
Night fishing, that was it.
Yeah, I'm not
looking. Right, right. For us, it's probably season. It's probably like mid-July before it kind of starts developing around here.
Here's the thing. According to whom? I would be out there freaking, if I'd been waiting for muskie season this whole time, I'd be out there at 11:59 ready to throw a bait. Right? Muskies are a shallow water, low light predator. It doesn't get much more low light than dark. They do dumb stuff in the dark. My favorite thing in the dark, they'll hit big baits. Right? You might not want to start it with your double tens, but you could throw some eights on opener because they're going to hone in on the vibration way more than they're honing in on the visual. So you can catch some early season muskies in the dark. The biggest thing I can tell you is planning ahead. Don't go out there and try to find spots in the dark. Have them marked on your maps. My trick, and I've done it for years, where regardless if I've got a map on the boat or not, are glow sticks and marker buoys. I'll go out at sundown and mark the edges of weed beds. I'll put a green, you know, a green glow stick on a float on the right side or the left side and mark one side with green, one side with red. So I can just go, if I keep my boat one cast off of these, I'm off the weed edge and I don't have to think about it. Because the worst thing ever is trying to fish at night and staring at a freaking fish finder that's blinding you, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's worthwhile to do your homework. Have your plan. I'm going to hit location A, B, C, D. Have them marked out with buoys with glow sticks or have like a killer thing on your maps, whatever it is. Slow down. Muskies can't see it, so they're going to have to feel it and find it. Go big and go slow. I'm not waiting for a temperature. I'm waiting for when I can get out there. So let's say that you work friggin' some crazy swing shift, man. You might have the lake to yourself all the time. Get out there when you can.
Yeah, I think it's region to region too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Tennessee and West Virginia are probably a little bit different with all your extremely long growing season and the extremely short growing season in northern Wisconsin where he's fishing. You know, it's Doug Smith, the big ticket at the Muskie Shop, is a night fishing expert.
Right.
Like to the 10th degree, you wouldn't even believe some of the fish he's caught at 1 a.m, you know, at moonrise or, you know, it's crazy. But, he's talked several times, you know, if we have a cool summer, you know, it wasn't that long ago, 5 years ago or something, we had a summer where it only hit 80 degrees a couple times, which is very unusual. And the night fishing bite, according to Doug, never really developed.
I'll say this.
But on a normal year, it will. And usually mid-late July is primo time to get out.
If we're talking North Woods and we're talking musky fishing, I'm thinking Book Daddy. And when he was filming his TV show and running a bait company and still guiding, it didn't matter. They went at night because he worked all day, filmed the TV show, and then guided at night. Didn't matter when it was. He went out and had, I think it was a 17 fish night early in the season.
Plus bats.
So if you can get out at night and you want to get dialed in, here's the one thing I'll say about night fishing. I'll shut up here in a second. It doesn't matter as much, you know, they're not in let me say this. The muskies have not gone into the woods. They've not crawled out of the lake. They're there. If you can fish nights, you will have far less pressure and you hopefully won't have any jet skiers out there, right? And if you can get in front of a fish, they're probably going to hit. That would be the thing. Don't be afraid to focus on it. Just do your homework ahead of time. Go big and go slow. Jay. It is hot. I am tired. We've been filming all day. We're going to jump off here. Folks, you're going to hear this podcast. And then next week, before the next podcast comes out on Wednesday, it will be the premiere of Muskie Shop TV with yours truly. Please go watch it. and give it a thumbs up and a like and all that stuff. Well, I appreciate your support. I don't ask for much. Please watch the video and just let us know your feedback, and hopefully you enjoyed it. I'm trying my best, trying to teach. I'm going to open, the show opens with a fish on a glide bait that is probably one of the biggest fish I've caught in years.
Yeah.
So check it out.
It's a monster.
We appreciate your support. Say goodbye, Jay.
Night, guys.
Night.
Do you or does someone you love suffer from Cody Dalton syndrome?
Do you find yourself shouting
Cody Dalton
at the worst times?
At weddings, Cody Dalton.
At funerals,
Cody Dalton.
At your cousin Lenny Silverstein's bar mitzvah,
Cody Dalton.
Dr. John Mikniak, the world's foremost authority on Cody Dalton syndrome.
Johnny Boy, a.k.a. Dr. Mick,
has a 14-step toe loading process to cure Cody Dalton syndrome.
Here at the Muskie Shop Mental Health Clinic, we know you don't have to suffer from CDS alone.